Let's take our Bibles and turn, if you have your Bibles with you, God's Word, and go to Hebrews chapter 4, a great chapter today, a really repetitive chapter, a really quick chapter. Can I give that to you? Thank you. And it's something that's going to actually be, but it's a very meaningful passage today, has eternal consequences to it if we understand it. And if you don't understand it, it has eternal consequences. Amen? So it's my job to make sure you understand this passage because God has a word for us to say. And so today, if you come, and I would encourage you, if you didn't receive a bulletin, the ushers have one, slip your hand up and they'll bring you one. Today's a good day to actually take notes. Letter of the day is F, if you want to know that, if you want to guess ahead. But listen, raise your hand and the ushers will bring you one. You can use this in the future because we're going to take a history lesson. We're going to go all the way back to the beginning. We're going to go up to Joshua, Moses and Joshua. We're going to roll in through King David, and then we're going to come into the writer of the Hebrews, and then we're going to come right into the whatever today's date is. What is it today? The 3rd? August 3rd. Say it with me. August 3rd, 2025, the year of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what today's date is. Every time you say the date, you have to talk about Jesus. Did you know that in America, when we say the date around the world? Today is August 3rd, 2025, the year of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what today's date is. So even the date you can use as a witnessing tool if you actually would do that. All right, today let's go Hebrews chapter 4, and we're going to read together in a portion. And as you know, we've done this a time or two. If you're new with our church, we tell you each time, every time it starts a scripture and it starts with therefore, that means there's some reason it's therefore or wherefore. And you have to go backwards and look, see what actually was happening before this passage. So a therefore starts, you need to go back to chapter 3. Chapter 3 was to be a therefore, so you need to go back to chapter 2. Chapter 2 has some therefore, so you got to go back to chapter 1 and start all over again in the beginning. And it says, in the beginning, God spoke in various ways. How did he speak? In various ways to the prophets, to our fathers. God spoke to the man spoke to the people, people spoke to the priest spoke to God. That's how it worked. And remember last week, 2 weeks ago, I did my gymnastics by walking down. Jesus is our great apostle, our prophet who preached to us. He came and said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. And then he turns back around and Jesus is our great high priest. So when you and I pray, the Bible says we are ushered into or we're rushed into the throne room of God. Every single time that you pray, as if you walk right into the presence of God. If you're a Christian. If you're giving your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ, you have direct access 24/7 to the God of all creation, all-powerful God, all-knowing God. Does he know about your situation? You're going to see today that he actually has x-ray vision. Did you guys ever see those? When we were kids, we used to go down to White Pond, where some of our family was. Anybody from White Pond or Williston area? Y'all know where that's at? It used to be a little five-and-dime store, and they would have all these gimmicks on the spin-around rack. Itching powder, like you'd drop down the backside of your brother's pants. Anybody ever put itching powder in anybody's pants? Raise your hand if you did. I'm all by my, thank you, Tanisha, all right. Yeah, it was always gags and pranks that you could play, and my aunt smoked lots of cigarettes unfiltered. You could buy these little bitty, smaller than rice pellets and stick in the end of the unfiltered Camels that she smoked, and she'd light them up, she'd take a big long drag, and they would blow, the cigarette just blow the whole end of the cigarette off. It was so much fun to pull those pranks when you had the extra money. Am I telling the truth, Mom? It didn't as neither. Yeah, all right. It was those kind of pranks that you could have there at the Five and Dime that when we would visit. We didn't have that where we lived, but when we found out about all this stuff, we're like, wow, this is, it got transported, right? It got exported to Pauline, South Carolina, if we had extra money. So we would also put quarters and dimes, nickels, pennies, whatever we had, we could find on the train track down there in White Pine when the train would come by. Anybody ever done that? Our church has missed out on so much. You know what? Next weekend, we're going to muster here. Everybody bring your cars. We're going to drive out and go do some practical jokes on people and let you live life at least one time before you die, all right? We would have all this fun. We thought it was fun, and we would actually come to the place, and I've almost lost my point from telling the story, but we would come to the place where this was actually the funniest thing that happened right now, and then when we get home, we'd say, today, right? We would say what happened today. Not yesterday. Yesterday's wasn't as good as today's. Today, I got somebody. And we got a whipping for a lot of stuff we did, but today was a good day. Well, the writer of Hebrews is telling us very clearly, hey, he's going to take us all the way back to the beginning. And he's going to say, back then, God said, today, I want you to follow me. And he's going to take us back to Moses. And Moses, hey, today follow God. And then Joshua would say, today, let's cross the Jordan River. We're going in today. And then when you get the psalmist, you get to David in Psalm 95, when we preach through the Psalms, David said, today, if you will hear his voice, right? Don't be like those people back in the rebellion. Today, if you hear his voice, what is God trying to say to us, to them in the past? When was the time for them to respond to God? Today, that very day. We get to the Hebrews, and the Hebrews, actually, this is a 2,000-year-old passage, but guess what he says? He quotes all of that, and he says, but today. And here we are in the 21st century in 2025, and as preachers, guess what we preach every time? And as teachers, if you went to Bible study class this morning, I'm sure your teacher read this passage, and he emphasized that what? Today is the day of salvation. Today, don't harden your heart. Today, respond to God. Because the number one thing that you see from the beginning, Adam and Eve, that you see in the people of Israel going into the promised land, that you see King David reminding the people of back when they didn't cross over like they should or obey like they should. And today, the Hebrew writer of Hebrews, he's warning the Hebrew Christians in this text, today, don't harden your heart. God hates unbelief. Did you know that? God hates unbelief. When does he want you to respond to his gospel message? Say it with me loud. When does he want you to respond? Today. And if you're saved and you're doubting or wavering, guess what? And even baptism, that's an obedience factor. That's not a salvation factor. When does he want you to be baptized? Today, right here, right now. Once you're saved, that seals it for heaven. But baptism is obedience to Christ. Even the Lord Jesus Christ himself said, go make disciples, and you baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then you teach them everything I've taught you. And then their job, as we did last week, is to get back in line and say, Lord, listen, help me today because I'm limited. And each day that we start should be, Lord, I need your help when? Today. We need salvation? Today. We need obedience? Today. And ultimately, all of us, Christians or non-Christians here today, we need to have belief in faith. You're going to see that the Word of God is the strongest thing God has employed in here on earth with the Holy Spirit, and as powerful as they are, there's one more key component. What do you think it is before we get to it today? It's faith. God's word, you're going to see how strong it is. It's going to talk about how powerful it is. We know the Holy Spirit is God. He's powerful, but it's got to be mixed with faith and belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. Without faith, you cannot be saved. It's God's grace and then faith. You'll see. Let's go into the word. Hebrews 4, beginning of verse 1. When should we read this? Right now, today. All right, here we go. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest. Whose rest? His rest. That's God's rest, spiritual rest. Let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. Scary word right there. I'm not going to get too detailed on that, but listen. This is, hey, some of you have shown up to church. You think you're good with God, but God's not good with you. You're living a life like you want to live, and you say, I'd sing like you sing, I pray like you pray. And I told you, if you've taken notes this morning, write down Matthew 7. It's not today's sermon. It's the scariest part of the Word of God that I've ever read. Revelation's frightful, yes. Some of the judgments, you look and go, wow, that's amazing, because we have ignorance of that. But Matthew 7, those people that Jesus told to depart from him, I know I'm saved. I'm not worried about my salvation, but I'm worried, not worried necessarily, I'm concerned about some of our so-called brothers and sisters that show up and live like the world, but they come to church, their regular attendance is really good. They live like they're good with God, and God's not good with them because of their sin. Matthew 7 says that some of these people will appear before God and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we cast out demons in your name? People today, have you ever been a part of a casting out of a demon? I've been part of it twice. Anybody else? Eddie? Yep. It's weird. I see all your hands. It's strange. It's weird. It's other than natural. So the Lord says, these people showed up and said, didn't we cast out demons in your name? Didn't we teach in your name? We did all these things in your name. And what does Jesus say to them? Depart from me. I never knew you, you workers of iniquity or sin. You dwelt on sin. You were self-centered your life and threw a little shake of salt of God in there once in a while. Here the Hebrew writer is saying, listen, have fear. make sure that you know that you're in the faith. How can you know that you're in the faith? God, am I truly saved? Am I truly born again? And the Bible says, how can you be evidence that you're born again? The fruit's going to come out. You're going to actually show that you want to talk about Jesus. You're not. Listen, when you give your life to Jesus Christ, it doesn't get easier. This world hates Jesus. The devil hates Jesus. Even your flesh doesn't necessarily like Jesus. The Bible says you're at war with the Spirit. Read Galatians 5. It's amazing to see this weird place that we're in. We're juxtaposed there between spiritual and the natural. So verse 1 is a hyper warning. Verse 2, for indeed the gospel, which is the good news, was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest. As he has said, we're going to throw back here to the Psalms. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Now that was God saying those people who were unbelieving were not going to the promised land of Canaan. And I told you this, and I told you this morning, God's going to speak very clearly, not in your notes, the creation rest. We're going to see that God created the rest for Adam and Eve in creation. And then later on, when they disobeyed their unbelief, they come into the new area. When God chooses his chosen people of Abraham, they enter into Canaan rest. It was supposed to be a picture of what the kingdom rest was going to look like. So you have creation rest. You're going to see that in the text. You have this Canaan rest, which wouldn't mean a lot to us other than reading the text and seeing what God did. And now we have a Calvary's rest at the end. You're going to see that. And I'll tell you which one on your notes as we get there. That's why it's important to write these things down. You'll see there that Calvary's rest is for all of us who are sitting here. Every one of us that is hearing the word of God, we have the final rest, the kingdom rest, the Calvary's rest that Jesus died on the cross. Let's continue. I want you to see this is powerful stuff. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although the works were, what does your Bible say? Finished. From when? From the foundation of the world. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. When he finished on the seventh day, his rest was finished. Now we're going to read in just a minute. I'll go and give you I'll give you the answer before the question. But I didn't realize until reading and studying, evening and morning were the first day, evening and morning were the second day, evening and morning were the third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day. And God saw all that he had made. Once he made, created man and woman, it was very good. Then chapter 2 of Genesis, we'll see in a moment, just flops open and just drops in us. And like, on the seventh day, God rested from all the works he had done. It wasn't like, I'm tired, because God can't get tired. The Bible says God never sleeps, God never slumbers, so God can't get tired. So it wasn't that he was kicked back on one of his beaches that he created and said, oh, I'm just so exhausted. That wasn't the case. He enjoyed the rest. Look when, we'll look in just a minute in chapter 2. When did the seventh day end? Evening and morning were the first day. Evening and morning were the second day. Every day ended except seventh day has no end. The rest of God, the rest, not the rest of his story, but the rest that God gives, his rest, is still open since the beginning. God had a plan for man. God had a plan for woman, and it was to be in his rest. Our society today is going 24/7, is it not? Even a physical rest, we're so tired. If you ask people, the number one problem they have in their life is what? Busyness. And busyness, well, I'm working hard. What are you working for? Because I have stuff. And stuff actually gets us so stressed out. What do? Got to work some more. And then we're stressed out, and then we die and leave our stuff to other people, and they enjoy our stuff. But they want new stuff, so they work really hard and try to replace that stuff. There's many times you talk to children, they fight over what grandma and grandpa has left behind. They'll put stickers on it when grandma's in the hospital sick, saying, that's mine. Am I telling the truth? Anybody have that in your family? Raise your hand. It's okay. It can be extended family. We won't say immediate, all right? People are like that. We want, there's even stories of children wanting their parents to die so they can have their house and cars and their lifestyle. They don't want to work for theirs. They want to use parents and grandparents. But some of that comes from training from the parent as well, does it not? I want you to see this. Listen, God's very clear. Since the beginning, he's made this rest open. He opened the door. Adam and Eve shut the door. He opened the door at Canaan. The people of Israel shut the door. And then on Calvary, he opened the door, And it's still open today. He still says, today, if you hear my voice, it's still wide open, that the door is open. But what do you have to do? By faith, you have to believe what he says. Otherwise, you're just like all those, you're just like Adam and Eve, you're just like the people of Israel and all the other people who's lived and said, I don't believe that. We talked about this morning in college and career. Listen, every professor just about who's an unbelieving professor says, did God really say that? Can you really depend on the Bible? Your pastor, he's just a small country pastor. Your mom and dad, they're ignorant. They haven't been outside your area. How could they possibly know? Isn't that the original snakes conversation? Did God really say that? It's always doubt in God. If you hear somebody speak like that, you know who they're speaking for, right? They probably usually have an extra sss to it. Did God really say that? Did God really believe that? Those people are of their father, oftentimes the devil. Now, you can have doubt in your life and say, God, is this really real? God likes you to struggle with your faith. He wants to work it out in you. You ask God questions, he answers in his book. You ask God questions, he answers in his book. Let's continue. I want you to see as it really picks back up again. For he has spoken in verse 4, in a certain place, that of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again, in this place, they shall not enter my rest. He's repeating again the Psalms that we preach through. Psalm 95. Since therefore remains that some must enter, and must is in italics, some enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of what? Disobedience or unbelief. Again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, when, church? Today. After such a long time as it has been said, here it is again. What does it say in your Bible? Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua, and some of you have a King James, it'll say Jesus, just for a little clarity there sometimes, it's Joshua, because it's looking back to the historical narrative. Jesus and Joshua is the same name in Greek and Hebrew. Those two names are interchangeable, just so you know. So Joshua in the Old Testament, if he was in the New Testament times, he'd be Jesus, because there was a bunch of Jesuses around in Jesus' day. Did y'all know that? Jesus wasn't the only person on the planet ever be named Jesus. I don't know if you know that. Did y'all know that? If a kid named today is Jesus, his name is Jesus. So there's a lot of Jesuses around the world, even in Jesus' day, because it's an Old Testament name of Joshua, Yeshua. All right? So just so you know, it should be Joshua there because it's looking back. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There's a day of rest. There remains therefore rest for the people of God. This is where it's good for me. It's where I'm sticking my chest out a little bit right here. I'm one of the people of God. I've been saved. I've been born again. I've given my heart and life to Jesus Christ. I fully trust that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins, all men's sins, but he died for me. I believe it. I received it. I confess it. And I believe God raised him from the dead, that he's alive forevermore. I confess that before you as your pastor, but as a Christian, I stand and proclaim that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. I believe that. I've received that, and therefore that verse is for me. The people of God, I am one of them. I am a person or a people of God. With confidence, I can say that, and you should be able to say the same thing if you've been born again, if you're living in the right relationship with God. Let's continue. Verse 10. He himself also ceased from his works, as God did from his. Well, there's something we should do. There's another therefore. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. God hates unbelief. Verse 12. Oftentimes this scripture is quoted outside by itself, which is a standalone scripture, but it relates with the verses before it. For the word of God, matter of fact, let's do this. Could you just take your Bible and hold it up like that, or your phone, or whatever you're using, just hold it up. You have this in your hand. Listen, and just let me read it to you. And you hold that up. Keep it up, holding high. Your phone or whatever you got, because I can't see out there with these glasses on. For the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Wait a minute, hold on. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Amen? Your Bible that you have in your hand is the very power source of God. It's our authoritative source here on earth. We don't worship the Bible. We worship King Jesus. But we understand God has revealed himself in 66 books that we have, a library that you and I carry around, the Old Testament and the New Testament. God has revealed himself, and he says, listen, out of all of this, I've revealed Jesus Christ, and today is the day of submission. Surrender your life to Jesus. It's not like I can tiptoe into it. It's all in. It's jumping off the diving board in the deep end. You're either jumping and surrendering to Jesus, or you cannot like check the water and see if it's warm or cold. You just can't do it. It's all in with the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let's go over to our notes. I want you to see this for sermon number two. Let's go. I put this up here, and I hope this is true for you. Most people enjoy rest, perhaps a vacation to a special place, a day with no agenda. Everybody just stop for a moment. Look at the envy cloud. A day with no agenda. Does that sound like a good day? Greg says no. Or simply some free time to unwind. From the very beginning, I want you to see this. God modeled rest for us when he rested on the seventh day of creation. He not only established the rhythm of earthly rest, but also prepared eternal rest for those who obey his holy word and place their trust in the finished work of Christ Jesus. Isn't that a beautiful thing? God is the total package. God planned everything perfectly, and it was you and me, it was mankind who sinned and fouled things up. We're stressed out today. If I went through a series of questions that who would like to have an additional $10,000? Derek's not here today, so we're going to start writing checks. Right? Who would not get in that line? Well, if you're smart, you would, right? You got to have, it's the story of the man who says, listen, the guy who's stressed out, he's worried all the time, wondering how things going to make ends going to meet. He's stressed out, so his friend's like, man, you're always stressed out. He says, I'm going to fix it. He shows up. He looks calm. He looks collective at work the next week. The guy says, what's the deal with you? Did you have a life change? He goes, yeah, I hired someone to worry for me. He said, I pay him thousands of dollars. He said, well, you don't make that much money. How in the world are you going to pay that guy? He says, that's for him to worry about, right? So the intent is to be great if we had somebody who would take our worries and our stresses for us. Can I tell you, we do have someone? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. We stress over the smallest things, do we not? Like getting a gnat in our eye, we stress out. How's this going to happen? And look at us, young and old. Yesterday happened, and we're here today. You obviously came here in a car. Nobody walked because it was raining this morning. You have a place to go eat, maybe, and you have somewhere to go and lay your head tonight. The Lord is faithful, and if you don't have that, see us, and we'll help make sure you do. That's what a faith family does. So from the beginning, just remember the finished work of Christ. God established that before the foundation of the earth. But here, he wants us to understand there's been no time that has lapsed that God didn't have a plan. God had a plan from the beginning. God has a plan today. And we're going to see in just a moment as we take the Lord's Supper, God has a plan forevermore. We have an awesome God, do we not? He's awesome. Well, look at your notes, verses 1 through 3a, the first part. God made a promise to the obedient, that is, those who live with godly fear. Hearing the gospel alone is not enough. It only becomes profitable only when it is received with what? Faith. Because Ephesians 2:8-9 says very clearly, it is God's grace that extends to all of us are being covered by God's grace right now. He's dropped down on us. It's right here in your face. You're hearing the truth from the word of God. God says, listen, it's my grace. I've extended to you this plan, this grace. And through faith, when you trust me, listen, I'm going to save your soul. But as soon as you say, but Lord, I have all this, I've done that, you sound just like those Adam and Eve, those children of Israel, all those doubters. And God can't work with your unbelief. If you're disobedient and unbelieving, you're going to get the same end results as Adam and Eve. Had they not been redeemed as those who had fallen, Cain comes right behind him and he murders his brother and you see all the other sins. You're going to get what the flesh gives. Read Galatians 5. You're going to end up, you will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. That's what the Bible says. Is that stressful? Well, it can be if you're trying to do it on your own. But with Christ, listen, if you surrender to Christ, when? Today. Today's the day of salvation. Surrender your life to Christ. He promises to be the comforter, right? He says, I'm going to the Father. I'll ask him to send the comforter. I'll send the counselor. How many of you guys need a counselor you can talk to 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and he's going to give you 100% right advice? He's going to keep it confidential. He's wonderful to tell you the truth. That's one of the names of Jesus. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. Who needs peace in your life? He's the Prince of Peace. He didn't just give you peace like you go to a yard sale and get a antiques or whatever you want to pick up. He gives you himself. He gives you himself. He says, in the presence of the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of you. He no longer just gives you peace. He don't dole it out like money. He says, I'm coming to step in and I'm going to live in you and around you so you can walk in peace. That's the life and that's the God that we serve. Listen, it's amazing to think about. Verse 3, the reality is that many people have believed God and have entered the eternal rest he has provided since the foundation of the world. God's people have his guarantee. Isn't that a beautiful thing? If God wrote you a guarantee, now I know we have guarantees. We have lifetime guarantees. And then there's a lot of small print underneath everything that we buy with a lifetime guarantee that tells you there's not a lifetime guarantee, right? God has given you an eternal life guarantee. If you will enter in his rest through the blood of Jesus Christ, you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you ask him to forgive your sins. When you receive him, he guarantees you that through that obedience, he's with you for life and then eternal life. On the seventh day of creation, God completed his work and rested from all he had done. Is that true from the Bible? Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. He blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. That means he set it apart as holy from all other days because in it he rested from all of his creative work. The rest was not only for that moment in time. His promise still remains open for those who will believe. That's the creation rest. If I told you earlier, if you want to take a note, just put Genesis 2. That's God's creation rest that we blew right through. It's like a traffic light in Aiken. Just people just drive right through it when it turns red, right? Y'all, have y'all experienced that? Aiken is the worst place to drive. It's just red means nothing anymore in Aiken, right? Well, that's what Adam and Eve, God said, these are the restrictions that we have, that one tree, and then they just went right through it, saw that it was good for food, believed Satan, believed the lie, ate of it, and therefore we have sin today. We were born, you and I were born into sin. Tell your mom, if your mom's with you, say, thanks, Mom. Thanks, Dad. Right? Thanks, Adam and Eve. Can't you say, when I get to heaven, I'm going to punch Eve in the face. I said, she's my daughter. I said, you won't remember that. You'll be sanctified. You'll be glorified by then. I won't get a chance to punch her. Let's continue on to see this. Verses 5 through 8 tells us this. There are those who, though they heard the good news preached to them, failed to grasp it and did not enter his rest. Their blinded unbelief, revealed by their disobedience, kept them from receiving the promise. That's in 2 Corinthians. Can we go look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4? We didn't have a lot of time to trail off today, but I want to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I want to pull it up in your Bible. Go there with me if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to begin in verses 1. When you're there, say amen. And fortunately or unfortunately, it starts with therefore. All right. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness or handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled for those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. And he goes on to talk about what he preaches, Jesus. If you're blinded today, you're blinded because you are willfully turning from God, and you're blinded because the God of this world, little g, his name is Satan, the prince of the air, right? He's blinded you. He's whispered in your ear just like he did with Adam and Eve, and your belief is not in God the Father. Your belief is in the devil, your father. Do you see the difference? Your belief is in one or the other. God sees your belief in the world system and Satan's way as unbelief. When God says don't and you do, when God says do and you don't, that is sin. You can be forgiven of that. But when you don't believe God for what he says, what he commands, God's not a God of suggestions. Y'all do know that, right? He He didn't come out and suggest that you make, this is a good choice. If you make this one, I like this color. God is the God of commands. He's God and we are not. We are his creation. God says, this is how it's going to be, and that's it. And many times we're like, but God. And some people will tell you, well, my God would never send anybody to hell. Well, you don't serve the God of the Bible. You've created your own God. My God would never, and as soon as they feel that, if it doesn't line up with Scripture, that God that they're talking about is not the God of the Bible. So don't listen to that false prophets who are out there saying, but there's another way. Or I'm more spiritual. I pray in a deeper level. I'm in a different situation than you are with God. There is but one way to the Lord God, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You've got to go through Christ to get this eternal rest, that rest, faith to enter God's rest. Well, who gives you the faith to believe? It's God. Many of us have come right up to the edge of belief. We're like, man, I really want this. I really need a life change. I really want Christ, but what's my family going to think? What's my friends going to think? What are my coworkers? I'm going to have to give up this sin, that sin, whatever it might be. I need to think about this. Let me have next week. And the Bible's screaming, the Holy Spirit screaming, the Scripture screaming, today is the day of salvation. And then you keep backpedaling. Then you say, oh, so-and-so got killed in a car wreck. How tragic is that? And you're like, especially when you have the inside track knowing that they're running from God, they're disobeying God, and you hear of their death, and everybody else is biting fingernails going, oh, it was terrible. It was a terrible accident. And you're like, I think God was after them, and they refused to believe God. That's hard to hear, I know, but it's the truth and word of God, that God is after us. God loves us. He's calling us today. Respond today, right now. I want you to see this. Look at verses 9 through 11 there in the next part. Since the fall of Adam, God continues to extend. He extends his grace. He has given another. This is today. I put it in all caps for you. For those who will hear his word. The challenge remains for all of us who hear it. Accept this truth when? Today. Now is the accepted time of salvation, and it is found in Christ Jesus alone, or Jesus Christ alone. He is our high priest. He is our Lord. He is our rest. If we would, I didn't put it in your notes, but I'd like to go here and see this. I want to save this kind of as a secret because I knew the guys in the media would pop it up for me ahead of time, and I didn't want that to happen. Matthew 11. Can you flip over to Matthew 11 really quick? Let's read this together. This is a powerful, powerful statement from God, especially if you're scared. Matthew 11, verse 28. I'm going to try to beat the guys because I know they can look it up and put it up on the screen. When you're there, say amen. Here's an invitation. If you have a red letter Bible, it's in red. The Lord Jesus says this, come to me, all you who labor and are what? Heavy laden, you're tired, and I will give you what? Rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, and I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find what, church? Rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Let's read it one more time. Actually, read it from your translation. Let's just read it together. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. Let's read it, starting at 28. Ready? Say it with me. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Amen. Thus saith the word of God. If you want to hear from God, he just spoke to you. Those are the words of Jesus Christ saying, listen, I invite you. Come. Listen, come rest. Rest physically, rest spiritually. But listen, the beautiful part is the eternal rest. Knowing that you know that you know that you're saved, so your knowledge will erase the fear. The fear of like, am I really saved or am I not? Am I saved or am I not? Am I saved or am I not? It's oftentimes we go back and forth. And finally, last two, no one can escape the word of God when it is preached. It is living and active, full of power, operative, energizing and effective power. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating as far as the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, reaching to the deepest parts of our nature. God's word exposes and judges the very thoughts and intentions of our hearts. And I put in there for you to read Romans 10, 4 through 17. God's word is better than a microscope. He can look deep into the side of you and say, listen, I can see everything that you're trying to hide from anyone else that's around you. We try to hide. Don't children still do it today when a kid gets in trouble? They break something. What do? Typically, they run and hide, right? Mom's going to kill me. Dad's going to kill me. I'm going to be in trouble. That's what Adam and Eve did. When they sinned against God, what did they do? They ran and hid. They were afraid. We heard you coming through the garden. We were afraid. We hid ourselves. Today, we still do the same thing. We try to hide ourselves and say, listen, no one will know. Just one more time. Just one more item, whatever it might be. And look what it says finally in your notes. God is all-seeing. And each of us will give an account before him, either for receiving the gospel by faith or for rejecting it through unbelief. Fear, inappropriate fear, is unbelief. Receiving this rest that we're talking about, it's a spiritual thing. It's not something you just come and get this Sunday and you lose it next Sunday. It's something that lasts forever. Rest in God's rest. That's the invitation today. If there was a party today, rest in his rest. Don't you want to rest? Aren't you tired of running and saying, listen, I'm trying to do it myself, I'm trying to figure it out myself? Can we get to the last passage of scripture there I put for you in your notes? Revelation 20, verse 11 through 15. Turn to that if you would. We'll finish with the scripture today. There's an invitation because, listen, there is a future coming. There's a day coming we're going to stand before the throne of God. There's a day, listen, there's two judgments coming in the future. If you're a Christian, you're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ, not for your salvation. Listen, salvation is settled. That's why you're there at that judgment. If you're at the judgment seat of Christ, you're going to give an account for everything you did in this life as far as your works when God ordained for you to do. It's actually giving out, it's meeting out merits and saying, you should have done this. This is what I had planned for you, and you did this. We're going to answer some of that. But you can't lose your salvation. That's why you're at that judgment. But y'all, the next one is the Great White Throne Judgment. If you're not a Christian, the Bible says you must appear. You will appear, because God said so, at the Great White Throne Judgment. You're going to appear and appeal to God one-on-one. You don't have any lawyers. You're going to stand before the judge by yourself and say, but God, and he's going to speak to every single person, depart from me, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. And that's what we talk about in the lake of fire, hell. Listen, let's say everybody says, well, there's no flames. Those are literal. You believe there's literal flames in hell? I actually believe there's literal flames. But that's okay if you don't. If you believe it's just a place, a literary word of terribleness, it is there. But can I tell you what's not there? God's rest is not there. You know how anxious you feel when you're on your most stressed out day? Life is going crazy. For eternity, you'll never have rest. You'll be unstable, and you'll pay the price of your sin choice of not believing God and believing the prince of this world. You will pay the price yourself, or you can turn to Jesus Christ, and he's already paid the price on Calvary, and enter the rest. Isn't that a beautiful thing to think about? Listen, I'm saved. I'm on the other side of it. I got saved when I was 21. I entered that rest that day some years ago. And today I'm still living in the rest, and when I die, I'll be walking in that rest. Amen? That's a beautiful promise from God's word, never to leave me, never to forsake me. Let me pray for us today because we have a lot to think about today. Just remember, as you read God's word, that conviction that you're feeling, don't rub it off. It's not like a sore or not like a dirt that you just got rubbed on you. This is the word of God, and the Bible says very clearly his word has spoken to your heart. You know if you're in the faith. You know if you believe. You know if you've entered that rest. Only you know. And if you have it, listen, when should you respond? Today. You say, but I'm embarrassed. It's a short little bridge you can walk across and get over it, right? God wants you saved. God wants you to know that you know that you know that you're going to heaven, that you're in his rest. And then God wants you to follow through like these folks did this morning. He wants you to follow through. Believers, baptism. Show everybody that I now belong to Christ. And then he wants you to show up to a discipleship class, to a catalyst class, and say, hey, I want to know more about God. We should be hungering and thirsting for his righteousness. And the only way to find it out is to get into a group and tear open that book and then during the week be held accountable by someone else. It's okay to read the Bible and you should read it on your own, but when someone else says, hey, what do you think about? Then you got to give an answer. And your unbelieving friends and family, the Bible says, Peter says, be ready to give an answer for your faith. Why do you believe what you believe? It sounds strange. Why do people get wet in front of other people? It's the craziest thing, man-wise, it's the dumbest thing we could possibly do, right? Does it make sense to anybody else? I know it makes sense to the scripture because Jesus commanded it, but it don't make any sense naturally to us. Like, we would get in front of people and get wet. It just don't make sense. But God said so, so guess what we do? We do it. I get laughed at because my robe goes like, when Mackenzie, my kids were the worst. Dad, you look like you like weighed 400 pounds. The robe comes out. All the humility that comes in our family at the preacher's table, sometimes a little laughter when they were younger. It's a lot of fun. But here's what I want you to understand. God has made a way, and he wants you to receive Jesus Christ today. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for today. While it's still today, Lord, throughout history, you called people to repent and to believe. For us, sometimes we're hard-headed. We want to do it our way. We insist that we're right, or we think that we're right, or that we hope that we're right. And Father, we know often we're so wrong, and we know we are. Our heart condemns us. So Father, today as we give an invitation, we invite people to receive Jesus Christ today. I pray that the word of God would just cut right through their heart. Like you said in your word, you see us exposed for who we are. There's no pretending, even if we're dressed up in a three-piece suit, Lord, if we're wearing a pair of shorts and a tank top, Lord, you see us for who we are. You see us Sunday through Saturday. Lord, you love us enough to tell us the truth. And Lord, you still invite us to come into your family today. So Lord, we give this invitation, praying your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen.